Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with
Sister Amen.
We are coming to you, and I think we have an interesting subject to talk about today.
Yeah, a little bit different.
We hit the road and traveled a ways to get to a preach this weekend. We kind of had a caravan going down the highway. Was it a beautiful day to drive, Sister Amen?
It was, and it was beautiful to see saints all traveling for the gospel.
Yeah, and I think you made a little travel video.
Yeah, I think so. It was real small.
And what happened at a rest stop where we stopped to have lunch and you were doing some things?
Yeah, it was pretty
Walked up?
Yeah, I was sitting there working on some notes and stuff for studies, and a man walked over, and he was standing by the door, and he was reading the gospel sign on the side of the van. So I talked to him. My new brother Tupos was coming right back down the sidewalk because he was making some notes or something for an audio. And so I talked to him for a couple minutes explaining who we are and what we're doing and about man-made religion. And I was just telling him that if he wanted to know anymore, that Brother Tupos would be happy to help him. And all of a sudden, right then, perfect timing, Brother Tupos came.
Yeah, it worked out good. And he actually was a listener. He didn't push back or anything.
Yeah.
Interesting man. He's from Pennsylvania, came down here. He's going to a ham radio convention, and he showed me how he's got a ham radio set up in his van. That's those radios that can go all around the world. It like bounces. I don't know what ham radio does. It's like a super powerful CB radio that can almost go around the world. And he was telling me all about it, so it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And he got a lot of truth. He said he was going to check out our website, said he was going to email me, so that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he had a really nice demeanor. He didn't push back or anything, I don't think. He seemed to listen.
I should throw this in here. He was into witchcraft.
Oh, yeah.
His entire life. And 8 years ago, he got involved in Seventh-day Adventist. And I said, okay, well, I said, that's an improvement in the right direction, but you got to keep going because the Seventh-day Adventist keeps a lot of false doctrine. And so I edified him with the truth, and he heard it. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then we got an email today. I thought that was interesting. Well, we got two emails today. One really, really edifying email from somebody that we've known for years that used to consider us an enemy.
It makes my heart overflow with joy.
Yeah, we'll talk about this real quick. I think maybe we'll do the separate audio on this one time, sometime. They used to consider us an enemy, and we thought, well, we're their enemy per them because we went against their religious system.
Yep.
They emailed us today and said, thank you for the website.
Uh-huh.
I don't see you as the enemy. I'm learning so much. And Sister Amen and I were just rejoicing today. That was incredible.
That is. You know, there's so much death and destruction and people trampling the word of God. To hear somebody that is maybe fighting their way, we know, through a lot of false religion.
Yeah. By the way, they left the cult they were in, and I think some of our teachings helped them.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're on their own, and they're striving in the Lord, and reading our website, and we're
it's
able to help them. So that was joyous. We'll talk about that. Maybe we'll do an audio just on that sometime. Talk about how your labor is not in vain. Hey, I got a scripture verse on that at the end of this. And then we got an email from somebody that found one of our gospel cards in a park. This person, I don't know if it was a man or a woman, didn't identify themselves. You know, we leave gospel cards up in parks and things. They told us we're littering. Maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody took it off and threw it on the ground. We don't throw them on the ground. We set them in strategic places. And this person was more concerned about litter.
A piece of paper.
A piece of paper than about the gospel to eternal life on it. And I kind of just lovingly helped them and said, if you're only worried about litter and not your eternal soul, you're caring way too much about the temporal. Not enough about eternity. So it was awesome. And I said, by the way, they said, what's the point of this? It's useless. I said, you got it.
Uh-huh.
And God's word never goes out void. You repent and obey the gospel.
And if they don't, it will be to their condemnation.
Yeah. So that was pretty awesome.
It's going to do what God's word wants it to.
Amen. Amen. So back onto our topic. When that man walked up and wanted to talk about the Seventh-day Adventist man wanted to talk, I was working on an audio on laboring for the Lord, how we are called to work, not for salvation, work in our salvation. Fruit that we're born of Christ, we work, we labor. You can listen to that audio. It's on the Ecclesia Gathering area today. And Sister Amen had a good idea. She said we should talk about all the things we've had to labor at in our life.
In our earthly life.
In our earthly life that, both as non-believers and believers.
Yeah.
Both these will be for, we're going to list our jobs we've had.
Yeah, just like a handful
yep.
of them.
And it will be both as non-believers, you know, even as teenagers, non-believers, and then as believers.
Yeah. And how, yeah, God can use yeah. all of it.
I'm going to start out with a scripture verse, 2 Thess 3:8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So Paul didn't want to be a burden to people. I teach brothers that. Don't be a burden to people. Work hard, save up, so you're not a burden. You can support yourself, and you can have something to help other people.
Right.
And so the brothers and I were talking about that. Like, if we help somebody get in van life, which we're totally willing to do that, but then they have to make a commitment to labor hard to save up so they can do their own repairs, replace their own van someday, then they be ready to help somebody else. So that way we're not a burden to each other, because we help each other with real needs, but we don't want to be a daily burden on the body so the gospel and stuff can go forth.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that makes sense, Sister Raman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to start out. Should I do my list first?
Yeah, go for it.
I'll do my list first. I am 61. I've been laboring about 40 years if I totaled it up. And I'm just going to list. These are ones that just came to me quick. There's more that I've done. These just came to me quick. Ready? My first, I bet, Sister Amin, you probably don't know what my very first job was. I probably never told you this. Do you know?
How old were you? Let me.
12.
It wasn't pizza, was it?
No.
That was later.
Greenhouse worker.
Oh, greenhouse.
My aunt lived across from a greenhouse, and they hired me. I think, I don't know what I made, $3 or $4 an hour. I would drop seeds in a little thing to start planting. Anyway, greenhouse worker, pizza maker. When I was 14, I was making pizzas. Handyman with my dad. I did that all through high school. Worked with my dad as a handyman. When I moved out on my own, I became a farmhand. Then I also cut and sold firewood, so I was kind of in my own business. Then later, I became a factory worker. Learned to work with my hands. Then I was a roofer. I did construction. One time, I was a car wash attendant supervisor. I was a small engine mechanic. I was a landscaper. I trained and became a commercial artist. I was a print setter, and I was an expediter, guy who worked in an office working in a big plant and expedited parts through the system. I became a purchasing agent, so I was a guy that was ordering parts and everything. I became a product manager. I became a salesman. That's when I became a Christian, when I was a salesman. And then after I did that, I became self-employed as a wood carver. That has to give you an idea of some of the things I did. Sister Amin, would you like to share with everybody listening, what are some of the jobs you had? Besides being a wife and raising children, I think everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. These are labor jobs.
Labor
that
jobs.
We did, whether for money.
Not that
or
women don't
for...
labor, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, these aren't in order or anything. I'm just going to go through them. I'm not going to talk about any of them, really. A warehouse picker.
Yep.
A produce worker.
Hold
you know, in the produce
yeah,
department.
Yeah, I like that.
A grocery cashier, a night store manager. It was a grocery store. I did a lot of daycare. I worked in the manufacturing, building seats for semis and construction. I was a new product manager, worked in quality assurance, shipping and UPS, scheduling, customer service, assembly line leader, bartender, waitress, short order cook.
You weren't a Christian when you did the bartending.
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
I want to be clear there.
No, definitely not. No.
Yeah.
Elderly care, thrift store volunteer, pantry or food pantry volunteer.
Yep.
And then when you're talking about the wood carving business that we had.
You were my assistant.
I did
marketing.
Marketing, and I did taxes.
Yep.
And all kinds of things on there. And then we also bought and sold houses.
Yep, yep. Some we fixed up houses in. And
yep.
bought and sold them.
And we also had a farm with hundreds of animals.
Yep, we used to sell, butcher chickens and rabbits and sell them.
Yeah, so those are just a smattering of
yep.
some of the jobs that both of us have
yeah.
done. And it kind of helps show how well-rounded we can be.
Yeah, we've got a lot of experience, and I think that helps because people that know us now that didn't know us then look at us and they, you know, I'm retired, I don't labor for money anymore, neither does Sister Amin. And they might look at us and go, what do you know? You don't know how to work. Like, people see us on the street.
Wow, yeah.
All the time, and they say, get a job. And I go, had one my whole life, but now this is the best job. And by the way, now the best job I ever had, I'm a Bible teacher and a street preacher, and I don't make any money at it, but it's the best job I ever had.
Praise God. I love it.
We just flew gospel signs today, and I'll do it for free the rest of my life. I don't have any problem doing that.
I'd pay to do it if I had to. I love serving the Lord.
Yeah, and so people will tell us when we're on the street, they must think we're like panhandling or asking people to pay us to go do this.
Yeah.
Like, no. We had jobs our whole life. We support ourselves. In fact, I was just telling some brothers that if the Lord wills, in a few months, I'm actually going to be getting the money that I paid into Social Security all those years. And so the government's going to be paying me back my money.
That they took.
And then I'm actually going to be using that to go out and spread the gospel and such. So that's kind of a blessing.
It is.
We've been kind of living off of our own funds. And now the government's going to give me back that money coming up in September. It starts. And so it's been a long time coming. And that is a kind of a blessing. A brother was talking about it. He said, that's kind of a blessing. He said, you worked your whole life as an unbeliever, not realizing that God would set you free. And
right,
now you get
that,
to go
yeah.
and labor and use that money. So, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And, any other thoughts, Sister Amon?
Not necessarily on the jobs or anything, because I don't really
I know you got some scriptures
to
share.
I was just going to say, I got scripture verses to share.
Yeah.
Do you have some? We're going back and forth.
I just have one to close out. Let me just say this before you start doing scripture verses. So the reason we want people to know that is not to boast and say, oh, look at us. We want people to see that we hope that we're an example and that we did labor, that we did get debt free. We talk about the three freedoms, born again in Christ, getting debt free, then being set free from the ways of the world. We did labor to do that, and we hope that we're an example so that people can look and see, hey, it can be done. They did it. We have brothers that are doing that. They work for months out of the year, save up, then they go and travel and preach for months in their time off. So it is possible if you live frugal, and we just want to be an encouragement to other people. You don't have to live in debt. You don't have to live in a house or have a big mortgage. You don't have to be buried in all that stuff. You can set yourself free to serve Christ.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I can say so. I don't want to cut in on you. I was just thinking, even more so than the work itself and the labor. I think about all those jobs that I did, and I know Brother Tupos would say the same about his, how all the experiences, the growth, the learning, the lessons we've gotten, even as unbelievers.
Confidence.
Yeah, and how it built us into who we were. Even if it was a lot of bad things that we learned, it's like God uses it all and turns it all for good, kind of like stubbornness.
I was just going to say, my stubbornness in my worldly life, I had to lay it down, and then God said, pick it up, and now he used it. Now it's called boldness.
Right. Yeah, and I was thinking about how I used to be an in-your-face feminist.
Right.
And now I don't do that today as a godly woman, but I have no fear.
Right.
I can stand in the face of the world.
We have to stand in the face of the world and Satan and mockers.
Yeah, and there's all
kinds of
things.
When the enemy comes against us.
Yeah, all the character traits that we learn, then God will transform that into good.
Yeah, God forms you.
It's awesome. Yeah,
and I always tell people, God's sovereign, and God can use all those things, whether they were worldly jobs or whether they were good, pure, and true jobs. Mm-hmm. God uses all of that for his glory.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, let me just, we're talking about labor. Our brother came from a cult, the Hutterites, and nothing good spiritually about them.
Mm-mm.
But guess what's happening good? He learned how to do a lot of farming. He learned how to do a lot of mechanical work. He learned how to do trucking. And guess what? That is helping him set him free in this life he wants to live, where he goes, labors, and then sets himself free to go do ministry. That's coming to great aid to him. And I guess he never would have realized that.
Yeah.
So God uses all these things.
Yeah, God knows it all.
Amen. Amen. Share your scripture verses with us, Sister Amon.
Okay. I had to force myself just to grab a few because there would be a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think I got four. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Yeah, that's serious stuff. God does not take laziness lightly.
1 Thessalonians 4:11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you.
Amen.
Acts 18:3, and this is of Paul, and because he was of the same craft, I believe it was of
leather maker, tent maker,
Priscilla and Aquila.
Yep.
Yeah. He abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And is this? I think this is true. He was there for 2 years or so. Was it
yeah,
there
yeah.
or someplace?
Yeah, I believe
he was.
So. Yeah.
But anyway, Paul worked. 1 Timothy 5:10. This is about the widows who are going to be taken within the body to be taken care of. It's not just a given if you're a widow to be taken care of. This is just a small portion of it. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work.
Right.
And that's just probably
some. I mean, she's an obedient believer,
Yeah.
So she reaps the benefits of being an obedient saint.
Right. Amen. That's just a good example for us in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage you to go. It'll be up on the Ecclesia Gathering area. Go listen to the audio I did on laboring, because it ties in here really closely. And I guess I'm going to finish off with one verse right here.
Okay.
I had to sneeze there. I thought I was going to sneeze loud. Sorry about that. Let me finish off with this one verse. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. There's another verse that goes on to say, you do not labor in vain. So none of our labor is in vain if we end up in the end using it all for God's glory. So we hope that edifies you. Anything else, Sister Emma?
I was just thinking about in Romans 8, how God uses it all for to the good of those who love him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. All things. Yeah. So hopefully that's edifying to you to know like kind of where we came from. Maybe you're looking at where you are. There's other saints that are laboring. And all of it is temporal here on this earth, and we're all striving and looking for that eternal city to come. That will never fade away. We can't buy. That we can't work for. Christ purchased it with his blood for us, but we are working in the covenant as fruit that we know him.
And maybe just one more little thought. You know, a lot of people, you have to work on the earthly side of it. You got to work to pay for your own way. You don't work, you don't eat. But we want to make sure that we don't get wrapped up and caught up in that because we want our labors for the Lord to exceed that.
Amen. Yeah, work for what you need,
not
abundance of what you in your flesh want.
To indulge your
we
flesh
see a lot of people doing
things,
that. You know, what do you need? What do you need for a car? A used car, low end car. What do you need for a house? Big, giant, fancy, expensive house.
Food and
all that stuff. So live small, live meager. Be ready to use the resources God gave you to be a good steward. And actually, you're always got to labor, so we should all be laboring for the kingdom. But if you do it right, you can labor less for mammon and just as much for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, right. The less you have to spend,
right?
You've given yourself a raise.
That's why we encourage simple living.
Yes, we
do. And
good focus. It gives you more focus on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Hopefully that edified you, and hopefully you're laboring in your life diligently for the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's what I strive to do, too.
Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Check out the Ecclesia Gathering page. There'll be more audios up there tonight. And check out that audio I did on laboring. I think it will definitely bless you. All right, we're out of here. Tomorrow we travel, get to our town for our preach for the weekend. We're excited about it. And Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. And I told Sister Emma we're going to find a spot, a couple spots, and we're going to stand out, and we're going to fly gospel signs, and I'm making a special gospel sign. We're going to be standing out on Super Bowl Sunday, flying a sign, trying to get people to think of not the Super Bowl, but I'm not going to give it away. I'm just going to leave it right there. You ready, Sister? I'm going to stand out with me.
I am.
All right.
Praise God.
All right. We love you all.
May God be praised.